Welcome to the home of Blood, Sweat, and Words, a podcast that empowers writers. My name is Joanne Carson. I'm a fiction and nonfiction author, blogger, and podcaster, and I'm trying to make sense of the writing world today. My weekly show is current, relevant, and above all, honest. Join me, and we'll talk it to the bone. That's what Blood, Sweat, and Words is all about. Welcome to episode 13. Today I'm talking with Sharon Ashwood, and our topic is Christmas stories in a dark paranormal universe. Let me tell you a bit about Sharon. She's one of my favorite paranormal authors, so I'm over the moon excited about this interview. She's written for Penguin's Signet Eclipse, Harlequin's Nocturne, and Del Rey, publishing 18 trad novels, plus novellas, essays, and shorter pieces. She began her professional career writing as a freelance art critic for several publications, including Monday Magazine and occasionally for the Globe and Mail. As a result of a cover article she wrote about for the local RWA conference, she joined the chapter and began learning the crucial step of moving from under-the-bed manuscript to professional submission. In 2005, she got her first traditional contract with Penguin by winning the local chapter contest. Sharon Ashwood is tremendously talented and successful, but she claims, and I quote, "I still don't know anything about this business." Welcome, Sharon.
Hi, Joanne. Thanks very much.
So tell me about your dark paranormal universe.
Well, the main story world that I write in, the series is called The Dark Forgotten. And in that universe, the supernatural world came out of the broom closet at the turn of the century. It started with the vampires, and then it spread to the shifters and witches and all the rest of the paranormal folks. although some of the non-humans have, you know, financial and celebrity status, for the most part, in this world, they're somewhat marginalized with fewer rights than the humans. They're not allowed to vote, for instance. Like, for instance, one of my characters is a computer professor who is also a werewolf. And he teaches, you know, computer science. He's very good at his job. He works at the university. But he always still has problems with, you know, the faculty and administration who consider him a risk to the students, even though he's not. It's just that kind of constant suspicion that's cast on them that sort of forms the basis of some of the stories.
Mm-hmm. So was it hard to create a Christmas story within this world?
Not really. It was actually a lot of fun because, everybody everywhere has feelings about the holiday season one way or another. There's family dynamics, there's way too much to do. We love getting together, but we really want it to be perfect. And we pack an awful lot of nostalgic value around it. Mm-hmm. And being able to magnify that sort of through a paranormal lens was really interesting because, hey, you know, you may be a vampire, but you still have to deal with, you know, the gift giving problems.
I love it.
So yeah, it was fun to do. Although the one sort of strange thing is, you know, in order to have a book ready for Christmas, you have to start writing it way early, and when you're not quite ready for Christmas quite yet.
Yeah, to get into the mood. So does playing with the light and dark enhance the basic story of a Christmas story?
Yes. I like playing with those contrasts sort of regardless of what kind of a story it is, but of course Christmas allows it to be more extreme, because it's there's sort of the Saturday night Christmas Hollywood movie where everything's supposed to be perfect, and then you have demons.
So, yeah.
The fantastic elements in paranormal sort of allows kind of to go to extremes with those contrasts. So I also think that, humor is a really valuable tool when you're writing darker stories. Mm-hmm. Because it's possible for those stories to become, terribly grim. And I think readers are more willing to follow you into some of the more edgy emotional territory if you give them some relief once in a while. Mm-hmm. I think that's especially true in paranormal, because it's sort of like you can get so dark it starts to get campy.
Yeah.
And you kind of reel it back in a little bit. Paranormal also offers a terrific canvas for, comedy, for social commentary, all that sort of thing, if you do it right.
Is that what draws you to that genre, that the ability to approach some of those big topics?
Definitely. Also, it's just, I've always been drawn to magic and swords and unicorns and and it, all of that still applies. And of course you're, because you're having magic in the story, you're allowed to be super inventive. You also can give your characters, over the top problems, in a way. It's that contrast with, sort of the everyday life and that kind of friction, between the fantastical and the mundane, I think that provides a lot of really interesting opportunities.
And what other genres do you write in?
I have written historical paranormal, time travel, fantasy, steampunk, pretty much anywhere I can take sort of a otherworldly element. I'm sure I've tried it.
So that's the common theme, is the otherworldliness.
Yeah, I think so. I have written stories without it, but I find I start to miss it very quickly.
I feel the same way as a reader. I really like having the unicorns in the background, the possibility of the endless possibility of things that can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can really throw some interesting twists in when, it's kind of like, well, there's really no limits here, so just go for it.
Well, I can't wait to see what happens at Christmas. This will be interesting. So you won the Rita, the biggest award in the romance fiction world. What was that moment like?
Kind of surreal. It was at an RWA conference that was actually in New York City. So if something is going to be surreal, that's a good place for it.
Oh, my goodness.
It was great because a lot of my local writing friends had gone as well. So, I had people to celebrate with,
that must have been meaningful to me.
It's a huge honor, I think, in my mind, because the Rita is a peer award. It's voted on by other authors. Mm-hmm. I've been nominated in the paranormal category 3 times, and I won that once for my book Unchained. And I was really walking on air there for for a little bit.
I can imagine. Is it hard? Did you feel, was it a letdown afterwards? Like, were you worried, well, can I ever do this again? Or did it give you the confidence to keep going?
Well, it was a very odd experience, because I won the Rita kind of within weeks of being laid off by my publisher.
Oh.
And so the award came after, which in a way was good, because it, It lifted me up when I was feeling kind of uncertain, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. But what it did do is it did sort of give me the confidence to try something else. which I did, and which was really helped me grow. So it, as so often happens in this business, everything is kind of what you make of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very mixed...
mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag. Yeah, that's all I can really say, because it's like, well, you know, I'm at the top of my game. You know, I have proof.
Yeah, very solid proof. Yeah.
And I just try and remember that, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, you can be on top of everything. One second you can be in the basement the next, and then you'll be back on top again.
That's right. Yeah. it's crazy watching what happens to authors, because you are incredibly talented, but you know, you have those down times too, and you have those closed doors sometimes too. Mm-hmm. After years of success publishing with the Big Five, you've gone hybrid. How's that for you?
It is very interesting. I'm still very much a beginner in indie terms. There's a lot of people who are, you know, far more, you know, they've figured more out, I'll put it that way. But I got involved partially to future-proof my writing business. Mm-hmm. Because the traditional publishing world is very unpredictable. It also, indie publishing really offers the chance to reach out to readers in a way that traditional publishing doesn't. You know, because, and I think it's changing a bit, but, you know, it's not like you've got the ability to, say, put a book on for, you know, at a discounted rate of your own accord. You know, you have to work with, you know, the bureaucracy of a publishing company if you're doing that in a trad sense. Mm-hmm. So I love the flexibility of, like, oh, I think I'm going to, you know, make this change something, and you can just go do it.
It's very free. It's very free. Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing was, I really did dip my toe into the waters simply because I wanted to do some collaborative projects with other authors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we just went ahead and did it ourselves, we could do it. You know, there wasn't, again, it was just, you know, we are the bosses of us when we went and made that decision to do a series of books set in a small town with paranormal elements, the Corsair's Cove series. So that's really what got me started.
And that's gone really well. So good experiment.
Well, there's, you know, if you're going to learn something, it's really nice to kind of do it with friends.
Well, I love the story about how you all went to the bar one night and got talking, and and out came this incredible shared universe. Yeah. So you have a demanding full-time day job. Do you have any time management tips for us?
Well, I don't know that I do anything differently than other people, really. What I do know is, sort of in order to fit everything in, I really have to plan. Mm-hmm. And very often, sort of on weekends, I tend to sit down and think, okay, what do I got to do this coming week? And sort of assign time slots to everything. Is what I will get slowed down by. I don't multitask well. Mm-hmm. So I find if I just sort of pick something, do it, and then move on to the next thing, mm-hmm. you know, I will ultimately take less time than if I try and do two things at once. Right. You know, just to try and take any opportunity for me to talk myself out of doing something out of the equation. You know? If it's sort of like, okay, I don't know what I want to do with myself, I think I'll go watch TV.
The lowest common denominator, right? Yeah.
Well, you know, after you you know, sort of put in a full day of work, it's kind of like your resistance is really low. So
I am sure. So then what you do is you block time, sort of, and block tasks. Is that what you mean?
I mean, I'm a great fan of, you know, just sort of having a paper diary that I can make lists in and say, okay, this is what I have to get done tonight. When you have crossed all of these things off, then you can go play.
And are you also a plotter as opposed to a pantser?
Yes, although I allow myself to lie.
I like that.
This
line.
Is the plot, and if I decide to take a, you know, a different turn, that's fine, you know. But you know, my observation in terms of, you know, plotting versus pantsing is simply, if you have something to do in a short period of time, mm-hmm. it's way faster just to plot it.
Right. But I don't find my characters always agree.
They never do.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's when you get to lying. So the industry is changing fast. Do you have any recommendations for other authors?
Yeah, prepare to be constantly learning.
Wow, good one.
Yeah, it's I came to indie late. I had a lot of catching up to do. You know, I basically just threw myself in the deep end. You know, I like go through Facebook sites looking for new products. You know, I listen to podcasts. I'm a great fan of Joanna Penn.
Oh, yes.
You know, I take courses. I stalk, you know, somebody's doing something I think is interesting. I'll stalk them and figuring out what it is that they're doing. I mean, it's impossible to know everything. And I think the moment you believe you do, trouble.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's because the industry is constantly changing, I think you just kind of have to accept that. You know, you're just going to have to keep your antenna up.
I love your comment about having to keep learning. No one's mentioned that before on the show, and that's such a positive way of looking at what's happening.
Well, I went through the experience of joining a box set recently, which... I think most people will know, but for anybody who doesn't, it's kind of like you get like, you know, 20, 25 authors together and, you know, sort of divide up the marketing tasks amongst yourselves. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a huge amount of work, but it was the best thing I could have done because I just picked up more information just by, you know, being in the soup term, just to skill up on all the little sort of tricks and tips that other people knew.
Yeah.
In a collaborative way. So, you know, if anybody's kind of at the beginning of the indie journey, I would say that's a pretty fast track.
A box set.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to get in one. I just interviewed Mimi about box sets, and mm-hmm. and boy, they can be so successful, can't they?
If you get the right group and a strong leader, they certainly can be.
Yeah, it's exciting. What are you currently working on?
Well, I have, of course, just finished this paranormal Christmas novella, which is called Gifted.
It has a killer title.
Yeah.
and the cover is so cute. You've got to see it in the show notes. It's just great.
But I am about to, well, it's just about November, so I'm about to do NaNoWriMo. And the book I am working on is a new urban fantasy series.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't tell us anymore. Is it a secret at this point?
Well, it is, if it works out, it's kind of going to be based in sort of a detective agency type of setting involving Faye.
Ooh, very nice.
So, you know, it's still a bit murky at the moment. So, you know, I'm not withholding out of, you know, secrecy, but just, yeah, like there's a lot about this I just don't know yet.
It's going to come together, though.
Yeah.
And where can we find you and your books?
Well, I have a Facebook group called Sharon Ashwood's PNR Readers. where I hang out consistently. My website is at SharonAshwood.com. And if you go there, there's a newsletter sign up, which will get me in, you know, invading your inbox on a regular basis.
With great news. And do you have a favorite adult drink?
Well, I do believe I sent along a recipe for something I call the, the cat's purr, I believe.
Yes.
Which is sort of apple brandy and hot chocolate and Frangelico mix, which is incredibly decadent. but, you know, sometime around, you know, December, it will be just about right.
It sounds very different. Sounds good. Yeah. And what are you reading right now?
I am currently... actually, I'm listening to an audiobook. I do a lot of my reading with my ears these days. Mm-hmm. But it's Simon R. Green, who is an English sort of comedy urban fantasy writer.
Oh.
I read most of his series called The Night Side, and this is, what is it called? I'm just opening it up.
Yeah. So you said Simon
again? Simon R. Green. It's okay. This one is called From a Druid to a Kill.
Great title. Yeah. Well, I've got to check him out for sure.
Yeah.
So do you have a final word for us?
Do I have a final word? I would say that I don't really have a pithy quote, but just, you know, I think that the real secret to success in writing is persistence.
Good one.
Don't let them beat you down.
Don't let any of it beat you down, even microphones. And well, thank you so much, Sharon, for being on the show. This brings our episode to a close. I hope you'll visit us another time. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks so much.
And for the audience, all the show notes can be found on my podcast website, bloodsweatandwords.com. And tune in next week for an episode about building an author community with dreams. Now it's your turn. What do you think about today's topic? You can leave me comments on my website or email me directly. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to know more about me, check out my podcast website, bloodsweatandwords.com. You can also sign up for my weekly newsletter there, which contains writing tips and information about upcoming episodes. You also get a free book if you sign up. Now, if you really, really enjoyed the show, please consider becoming one of my patrons through Patreon and help me pay my podcasting bills. You can pledge as little as $1 a month and make a big difference. And that's a wrap. I leave you with a quote from J.K. Rowling. The idea of just wandering off to a cafe with a notebook and writing and seeing where that takes me for a while is just bliss. I think we can all relate to that one. See you between the lines.